Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order, the meeting of February 8th, 2023. Yes, we want to do that now?
Yes.
All right, Attorney Payne?
The assembled board is out here.
Get closer.
Yeah.
The assembled board's out here made notice that we only have two board members tonight. And that is not a quorum. The others were at other engagements or out of town. And so this is technically not a meeting. But it is an opportunity for the two board members that are here to hear your presentations and gather information on that. So the board will not be taking any action of any kind tonight. But I think it's fair to say that they're all anxious to hear what you have to say.
Always, yes.
And then also too, the board members that could not attend, they had made mention because we don't have a quorum, that they will be going back to listen to either the YouTube video or the audio. So, you know, whatever you say tonight, it will certainly be heard by those that choose to tune into it.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Attorney Payne. At this time, let's stand and say the pledge and have a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We are here tonight to review the budgets of our constitutional officers. And we will start with the treasurer, Linda Lindher.
And I know why I get to go first, because I'm the fastest.
Yeah, I love it.
Bravo.
I'd like to say thank you, ladies, for being here tonight with us. I just want to say, for those who have never been in my office, and I know you have, my office is not plush. You know, my furniture's not plush. You know, I don't have top of the line of anything. As a matter of fact, most of my furniture came out of the old courthouse. I have the judge's desk as my desk. So we don't ask for a lot of things in my budget. And what you see in my budget is the essentials to operate the office, with computers, receipt printers, and just supplies for our daily operation. It's everything in there is a necessity to serve the citizens of Fluvanna County. You know, we need to have postage to mail out our bills. We need to have paper for receipts. You know, if a customer doesn't ask for a receipt, we don't give them one now. We try to be very economical. So working with Mr. Dahl, this is what I need to run my office. There's nothing in there except for some receipt printers, which are IT people are telling us we need to include every year, because if one breaks down, or, you know, we don't have extras. And those receipt printers are what we use daily for receipting. And then once we receipt our checks, then those checks are uploaded that day to Wells Fargo. So our money's hitting the bank daily. Without that, we can't do that. We would have to go back to pretty much writing deposits. We don't want to do that. This is a faster, and it downloads, goes right to our bank, and it's there the next morning for us. So what is here, ladies, is what I need to operate my budget.
Okay.
Questions?
No. What is the DMV online, you do that?
Okay, we do DMV stops, which is considered a stop.
Okay.
When you have not paid your taxes,
mm-hmm.
we go in there to DMV, we have a direct line to them. We go in there, we put a stop
okay.
on your, it's your license plate.
Oh, the plate?
The decal,
okay.
yes.
Yeah.
So you cannot get your decal.
Mm-hmm.
DMV notifies them that they have a stop with us and that they need to pay their taxes. So it's just another way of a tax collection.
Okay.
It's a fantastic tool.
Right.
During COVID, we were not able to do that. There was some stipulations on us putting holds on people.
Okay.
But we're in full force now and we are getting them.
Yeah.
And we're hoping with their tax refunds, we'll even get more.
And honestly, for this year too, for the current fiscal year, because Ms. Lenner has been kind of picking back up again, a supplemental appropriation will be coming back because there's an offsetting revenue that's tied to this, because again, the county gets a piece of the revenue for it, and then
there's
an expense to pay it. So there will be a supplemental appropriation coming to the board at the next couple meetings for this as well, for the current fiscal year, but that's what she had budgeted for fiscal year 24.
Okay, thank you.
Can you move that over so we can see?
Oh,
my right hand side.
You want to move this? Let me get rid of that here. You want to see that?
And as you know, postage went up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 63 cents.
We get a little discount because when we do our billing, mm-hmm. they're all put into separate post offices, so we do get a little bit there, but postage did go up, so. And I think the post office boxes are going up, is my understanding.
Yes.
And so what is the stamp now,
60? 60 cents.
60 cents.
Yes. And what are the post office boxes going to, 300 or something?
I think it's $300 a year.
I think it was, two? Anyway, it went up substantially.
Okay, you have any questions, Ms. Eva?
No, I just wanted to see what they were.
Okay, Ms. Lamher, thank you so
you're
much
welcome.
For your service.
I'm done.
Thank you. It's nice to see you all together once a year, right? Okay.
No, we get together with
you
once a month.
Oh, you do?
We do.
But you're not there. Oh, spoker.
I don't get invited.
All right. That's not on us.
Andrew.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Yeah. Nice to see the ladies and Mr.
Thank
Payne
you.
And Mr. Dahl. Briefly, because at least one Sheridan isn't here, I have an outstanding staff. It's that simple. I'm really proud of them. Page 2, please. Like I said, it's just the highlights. This is what we spent for 23, 44, 470. We're asking 48, 470, $4,000 increase, and I'll show you why. Page 3, please. And here's what it is. The numbers are small, but in a nutshell, of that $4,000 additional request, the large part by far, we pick up any new house, you know, we have to go out and have it and inspect it, add to the tax base, assessed. And we anticipate, because of several subdivisions that have been approved, we're going to have at least 100 more houses this year than we had last year. And you'll see in the line there that talks about professional services, you'll see Pearson. There's 250 we estimated last year, or this current year, 150 houses. So of that $4,000 increase, $3,500 is just so we can go out and pick up new homes that have been CO'd. It's really just pass-through money we have to spend. There's a few other additional, real minor things. The database services we use, I could point them out, but the Marine Blue Book, which we do have boat evaluation, that had a slight increase, $25. I'm just wasting your time there. Pearson, J.D. Power is the company that basically does the evaluation of our personal property, the little NADA books, now J.D. Powers. They raised their price $350. So all this is pass-through money. And so One other little professional dude went up just a touch. We need $4,000 extra dollars. It doesn't amount to an extra dime of money for our office expenses, which are very nominal. It's under $40,000. That, by and large, is predicated on more homes are being built. We anticipate this year we're going to have a little more money to go out and pick them up. So that brings me to, if you would, this one. Thank you, Mr. Dahl. Can't quite see. This is just a couple trends I wanted to throw in there and tell you what I think. Real estate values for this coming year are going to be up. We know why. Reassessment. Personal property values are going to be down. We know why, because they're up considerably last year, and we already know that they're going to be down. We don't know how much yet. Should know in about 30 days, and I'll let Mr. Dahl's office, Ms. Melvin, immediately when we know. Tax relief, well, that stays pretty consistent for our elderly. You know, a few in, a few out, but the numbers don't change much. Veterans relief, we are seeing a continued, you know, uptick in the number of veterans that do qualify for tax relief, and by virtue of just people moving back to the county. And then lastly, which is a really important point, sales assessment ratio. Because of y'all's continued foresight in having every other year reassessment, that's going to get back a lot closer to 100%. And what's that mean? That basically means this. Our public utilities will pay us what they should, well, not that's the wrong word, what they are required to pay us much closer to 100% of that than in this past year where it had gotten down around about 90% because of just the real estate market being so hot. So it's a good thing. It means that we'll, you know, get what we would plan on for them as opposed to our significant reduction by percentage. Y'all know that. We go over it all the time. Last slide, if you would, Mr. Dunn. I always like to touch base because I think it's important. Eric's staff is great to work with. We all, and both, I can't say that it's a solid team effort, and we'll have our little, you know, bumps in the road, but we work those out in-house occasionally, and there are very few of them. And that's a blessing. Not every county has that working relationship between county staff and constitutionals, and et cetera. So I thank you for consistent funding. We don't see a lot of turbulence. We get operationally what we need, and y'all have been just super for the personnel costs for all our staff. So thank you for that. I believe it's going to be a pretty good year for you to, you know, work with the real estate we have coming in. Be happy to answer any questions. If not, I'll wrap up.
Now, with the veterans, that's 100% disability, and they are exempted from all personal property and real estate?
Not quite, but okay. That's very close. Yes, ma'am. You have to be 100% totally and permanently disabled, okay. And that's a determination that's made, you know, by the VA. You know, they assign ratings. So if you are 100% totally and permanently disabled, and you identify that to us, you get 100% tax relief on your dwelling and part of your land, you know.
Okay.
If you own 15 acres, you don't get it on all of that.
Okay.
It's just a, now, you also, and this is not a language that we've got in Flavanna's code. This is statutory, you know, as determined by the citizens of Virginia. And a couple of years ago, they also approved one particular piece of personal property, car or truck. So if you're an average veteran and you have a home and you have two vehicles, you get your home, your principal dwelling, and one of those vehicles at 100%. Yes, ma'am.
Great. I didn't know that.
Right.
And when the veteran passes, the wife has the same benefits?
As long as she continues, yes, ma'am. The answer is effectively yes. There's a little bit of devil in the detail there, but and that's for those, of course, that live in Flavanna. Should they move away, then that's the next locality's responsibility to pick them up. And it's a very effective program, and you know it continues to. We continue to see the number of veterans that qualify grow, not by leaps and bounds, but that's. That's what the Commonwealth has said we have to do, and that's what we do. We're glad to be able to administer the program.
Mr. Sheridan, do you want to talk about your CIP requests for the $75,000 for the...
I could. I didn't know if you wanted to hang everybody up or just cover that on the back end.
Well, like I said, maybe we can do that another time. I mean, just to give you a high-level overview.
I can do that.
Yeah, I would just
succinctly.
Yeah.
Mr. Notman has pointed out, Andy, your IT director, for some time that we are really handicapped by an old server that we store our real estate database on, the AS400, you've heard. It works, honestly, pretty well. But as he will point out quickly to you, the AS400 isn't necessarily timing it out, but people who can work on it, do the maintenance, are retiring or dying. And he says it's just a matter of time. What's happened to expedite maybe a transition from that piece of equipment here in Fluvanna, that server, to having it done by a company that can put the data in a Windows-based scenario, the newer technology, and on the cloud, you know, the cloud storage. The company that has done our data storage for us using the AS400 has been bought by another company. It was Stonewall. You all remember Mr. Hickey back in the day coming in and talking to you. Well, Stonewall has been bought by a company called Vision. Vision, and I'm being fairly quick about it because I don't tie everybody up. Vision has hired the staff from Stonewall that they now work for Vision, and they currently support both the older technology, the older platform, the AS400, and the newer Windows-based technology. Now, they will tell you they're not going to maintain both technologies indefinitely. The AS400 data storage is going to not be supported by their company at some time in the future. We suspect sooner than later. But Air Office is very comfortable with the idea of transitioning to the Windows-based technology, utilizing storage on the cloud, and this company Vision doing that work. As opposed to staying with the older technology that might time out on us and then we get a 3 month, 6 month deadline that hey, it's going to stop and we really have to act expeditiously to do something. So, in pursuing that line of thought, we asked what the costs were involved. You know, Mr. Dahl and Mr. Notman are they're thoroughly involved and aware of all of this detail. They have said, the cost is $75,000 to transition to this new Windows-based software that will get us off of the older, that's hard to maintain technology because of service people are not dying out, frankly. $75,000. It's not all up front. If we act to execute a contract with them, Mr. Payne's office is involved with this, and Christina is working with us on it. If we can act sometime prior to possibly the end of March, the $75,000 cost, they will honor that through right now, they've said, March. And we hope to get it done here in February, but it'll be 25% of that $75,000, $18,000 and change at contract signing. The remaining 75% to be made over three incremental payments at time frames that coincide with the implementation. And we don't think they can, there are a lot of counties that are lined up to do this because they've all kind of read the tea leaves. You stay with the old technology, you're going to be out there all by yourself in left field and everybody else is going to have moved on. So we would like to encourage the board to act on this, and I realize you can't do a thing tonight. Let us execute a contract, you know, with Mr. Payne's, you know, assistance that gets us in the queue so we can begin, be on the schedule to implement. It's an $18,000 upfront cost, and the remaining 75 minus 8 would be 55 plus 2, $57,000 to be paid once they are on the ground, and they began the work. And it'd take about 6 months, we think, for it to be completed. And they can't possibly get here before October, November of this year. So we don't need $75,000 to execute this contract at this point, but we would need $18,650. That's the overview. There are a couple other nuts and bolts. For an additional cost, they will continue to do what is done by VAMINET right now. You know, every citizen can access real estate database. They will do the same thing. It's a touch more. It's like 50, instead of 3,600, it's 5,500 and change. And they will also maintain the data on the cloud. They'll have a portal that allows it to be maintained on the cloud. And I think it's fair to say Mr. Notman is very supportive of not maintaining it on a server in their county when they can do it on the cloud. That's a quick overview. We feel like we will have to do this. It's inevitable. We would like to do it on a timeline that gives us the best price for the contract and gives us the opportunity to plan it into our work schedule over the course of the next year versus finding out we have to do it. At some point they go, the old one's no longer going to work. You got to do this.
And just one thing to add on that too, there's an annual maintenance cost associated with the program too. It's $25,000.
It was $25,000, but that's offset by about $9,000 that we do right now. You know, so we wouldn't be paying for Stonewall's maintenance cost. We have the math, and we certainly will present it in a much more concise presentation to the board. But that's the overview. We feel like we have to do this. We would, again, like to do it on their timeline, not when we're told you got no time left. It would mean some money out of this current budget, but the CIP is where Mr. Dahl, and I agree with him, that the remainder of this funding would come. In fact, my budget, if we do this, would be significantly reduced. Because we think probably the right place for that annual maintenance cost is in the IT budget. And so Mr. Notman's budget would go up by that amount. Mine would decrease. It would impact this budget, but since the contract isn't executed and we don't know for sure, we presented the figures for business as usual, but should y'all approve this, we can amend those numbers. Mine would probably go down by almost $9,000.
And just so for the board members' benefit, so I've included the $75,000 CIP in my budget proposal. That's already gone to the board. And the $25,000, and honestly, and I didn't think about this right now, but $25,000 maintenance cost is included in Mr. Notman's budget, the IT budget. The one thing we could have is the savings piece that Mr. Sheridan talked about, and I just didn't think to do that, is to remove that piece from his budget. So if the board says, you know, sometime here soon that they want to approve that, the 25 is already included in Mr. Notman's budget. So that $9,000 or so that's being utilized for next budget year for kind of doing the same services could be pulled back from the commissioner's
right.
budget.
My budget will be reduced pretty significantly, you know, 44, take 9 away, you know. So I dropped it. Mr. Notman's increase.
And just so you know, a lot of the county software programs and maintenance costs and everything for, you know, all of our software programs are usually come out of the IT budget. So.
And there's no training of staff, is it?
Well, yes, ma'am, there is our staff, frankly, yes. It's a significant change, but my staff, I think, to an individual is more than prepared to embrace the transition to this new software. We see a lot of benefit from it. There'll be some headaches, and that's why we would like to transition, you know, maybe in the early fall. If we wait and don't do anything for a few years and they go, okay, you're gonna stop in 4 months, it may be force-fed to us, and I don't want to do it in a January through, you know, June timeline, because of all the additional stuff that goes on then.
What we were hoping to have a quorum is get some head nods to move forward with it. With not having a quorum, what we'll have to do is we'll just have to bring it back to the board, kind of maybe the full proposal either at you know, I'll work with Mr. Sheridan and make sure from the company and Fred's office, as far as the contracting piece, at some time in the next month and a half at the latest, to bring that full approval forward to the board. Right.
They initially gave us the proposed cost in November, and that was going to be for 60 days. We've asked them if we can extend that, and they were very, very easy to work with.
The cost won't go up.
Yes, ma'am. They said, oh, no problem. We can do maybe it's February, even March. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to go back for a third time and ask them to extend that same cost anyway. So we're prepared to come back to Mr. Dahl's request.
Andy, anything to add from your standpoint?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Dahl. I apologize. I didn't see
you. No, you covered it.
Come on. Yeah. I certainly can't speak for him.
Not really much to add. He's correct. The IBM server itself is fairly new. The operating system is what's very esoteric, and there's people that know it well are passing away. Yeah. And Stonewall writes the software that they use. Roz, her last name escaped me, she wrote the program. She retired, handed it off to Goldie, and Goldie, I think, has a lot of notes. And she tries real hard, but she doesn't have the experience on it. And that's the company that wrote the program. And so it's becoming to the point where it's not maintainable anymore. And then I guarantee, because the new version will just be a browser base, you access it through a web browser rather than have anything installed locally on your computer. And it's supposed to do all the same stuff.
So it's actually better.
Oh yeah, and it'll do all the things that it currently does now. Right now, where there's like a half a dozen things we have to install for them to use this program, where it'll just be go to a website and all the tools will be right there.
Okay. So. And one of the optional things, again, is the ability, just for $5,600 to have the general public, have access to it like VAMINET. Mm-hmm. And I would not want to be in y'all's position or mine to have to face the public when we say, oh, you can't access the data anymore. Yeah. Drive down to there and, mm-hmm. We're way past that. They're public. It really likes having access. So.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
all
you.
Right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Sheridan. Next we have Sheriff Hess.
Evening, everyone. All right, our 24 budget. It's hard to believe 24 has rolled in here so fast on us and already in February. Next slide. So just highlighting the things that we're asking for extra outside of our budget. So sworn staff, sometime in the next year we need to add two sergeant positions because we've got five SROs now, and we really need a direct supervisor instead of having to go straight to the captain. The court's the same way. We have I'll touch on that in a few minutes. And we've asked for a deputy sheriff position this year, which will go into the courts, and I'll explain that a little bit more in detail. Equipment-wise, the two biggest things that we're asking for on the law enforcement side of the tasers. Taser is a proprietary company. They're the only ones that make them, and they pretty much bought or gone to court with everybody that's tried to compete with them. But the new contract is going to go up by $9,173. And I'll touch on that again here in a minute, another slide. The next product we're asking for is something new, and that's called Lexipol. Lexipol is a company, a group that services and does a variety of policies and stuff, which I'll touch on that in a minute. And that, to start out with, is $14,792, and then there's maintenance costs as you go along. But like I say, I'll touch on that in a second. Next slide, please. So here's our comprehensive annual final report of numbers. The rest from 21, we went up a little bit in 22. Traffic violations went up significantly. And I can venture to say the way the tickets are going this year, that number will be small next year. The civil papers, we've seen an increase in those, but we're really seeing an increase this year because we worked with the circuit court. And what we're doing now is we're actually not just mailing the information to the jurors, but we're actually serving them a paper in hand. Because what was happening is most people would not return the information that the courts needed to proceed. So then the judge would get mad, and then he would say, I want you to go serve all these people. So Trissy came up with the idea, well, we just serve them all, and I thought it was a great idea, too, because we'd wind up doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So that's actually worked out well. We've seen an uptick in trials, because last year, or was it the year before, I can't remember, Jeff, we'd probably know that answer, but they changed with juries now, the jury doesn't do the sentencing portion. That's the judge does the sentencing. So a lot more people are wanting to have jury trials. The calls for service, 31,550, probably don't see an increase in this year. And emergency calls, just in those 2 years, went up almost 500. Next slide. Here's a little graph for our civil process. This is a kind of a projection where we're looking at, we're going to be going, you know, up about 4,000 papers. And also what I left out is that we're at with the evictions coming out and stuff now, that's added a little bit to us also. Next slide. The courts have really grown in the number of days. Circuit Court, we had 96 days of Circuit Court last year. We have a new judge, Judge Barreto, and he will be with us Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the last 2 weeks of the month. And General District Court, we've had 44 days of court coverage, and Juvenile Domestic and Relations is up to 108.
These cases, are they catching up from the COVID, or is finished with those cases, and these are the real
juvenile domestic relation cases. I think there it's just a very heavy load, mm-hmm. in that. And I'd Trish, what would you say on yours?
We are not experiencing any backlog or anything.
Oh, okay.
We had court the entire time, so we never, Jeff, you know, we never slowed down. So, unfortunately. I do believe a lot of the juvenile court, they are still playing catch up.
Yeah, I know some of those are going months out. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. And the judge there has actually added days when she can to have more time to see the cases. And you have the normal cases, and then the child custody, those cases can take a bit of time as well as some of the more stuff.
This is where social services take most of their cases.
Yes, they're usually sitting in the courtroom for a lot of that. Yes, mm-hmm. ma'am.
And Sheriff, maybe you know, because I'm on the Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention Commission, and we noticed within the past year from Savannah, our number of days have been up through Blue Ridge. Is that
right?
Does that kind of correlate to some of this a little bit? Or?
Not really, because okay. They really don't stay there that long.
Okay.
I don't see too many of them that stay there for any length of period. Okay.
Of time. 10 days.
Yeah.
Is this annually?
And
these numbers of days in court, is that annually?
Yes, that's for the year. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, from July to July. So the new court sergeant position, what we have Lieutenant Wrench, who's currently running the courts. He's set to retire in August. What we want him to do is put a sergeant in there and have that sergeant have plenty of time to be trained. And what we're going to do, instead of coming back, as we've grown as an agency, we're growing in certain areas like the courts, like SROs, but where we haven't grown any is in our admin side. And the admin responsibilities, like I'll talk about in a minute with Lexipol, that's a part-time position for somebody. Our FOIAs are just absolutely taking almost more than a part-time job, because I know Kelly does a lot of them for the county, but when we get a FOIA, just like the Commonwealth, when they get the cases, they have to sit there and watch sometimes five body cameras, mm-hmm. and the car cameras, and they got to watch each one of those because it might, one might have captured something that the other one didn't, and then they have to go in and deduct certain things. So it's turning into a really time-consuming process, as well as the expungements. So we're using this retirement as an opportunity not to ask for another lieutenant, but just to ask for a sergeant and redirect that lieutenant to the admin side and give them some of the additional duties that most of what we've seen has gone away since my chief deputy retired. So we don't have a chief deputy right now, so everybody in admin has had to pick up extra duties. So it's kind of been a burden. So here's an opportunity for us to redirect and put a person in an admin position that has some rank and authority to do some of these difficult jobs that you just wouldn't give to somebody that has very little knowledge. So we'll be coming to you in a few weeks when you get time to get with HR and ask for to promote someone in the house. I'm not asking for a new position for that sergeant, but I am asking for one in the budget for the court itself. Next slide, please. So let me explain to you about Lexipol. It's developed winning strategies to keep ahead of crime trends. And it basically what this, in a nutshell, what this company does, and many of the agencies in the state, most recently Alamar County went to it, and what they do is they come in, they'll take all of our policies that we have, and every agency in law enforcement basically, if whatever functions you have the same policies. They're written differently to tweak the way you do things in your agency. But what they do is they'll come in and look at them, and they will give you a rewrite on each one of those that they see that there's problems in. So I'll give you an example, like say there's something on our policy for a DUI arrest, and we're doing X, Y, and Z. And when they look at it and they say, no, you also need to be doing this added function. Because in a certain court case, this was a determining factor. So that's what they do, and that's all they do. They don't try to get involved in any other aspect but policies. And they do this for a lot of agencies. So once they come in and do ours, then every year, like we have to do, we have to go in and review the new laws that come out. If there's a court case that comes out, we have to make changes to our policies. We have to review them. And that's very time consuming. Currently, Major Wells, it was pretty much a part-time job for him. So we're sharing those duties and trying to fill them in. The cost of this to start with is $14,000, which is far less than asking for a part-time position for somebody to come in and do it. And we know that it's done by a professional company that has people that's all they do. And the minute something changes in the judicial system or the legislative, they automatically come in, they fix that, then they'll send that to us electronically. What we'll do is send it to every deputy. The deputy will have to read that and then take a test to say that they've read the new policy and know how they have to do business now. That prevents lawsuits. Much. The tasers, talked about that a little bit. It's our greatest tool for de-escalation. And because they have such a proprietary system with it, it works far better. Remember, the use of pepper spray, but an instance like in the courtroom, you can't even think of using pepper spray because then you don't have a courtroom for a day or two. The judge get a little mad. But it's not as effective as the taser has been. So what's happening is we went in the past to doing a contract for so many years. So one contract expires in June of this year. So all those tasers, they will no longer guarantee them. They will no longer back us in court with their product. And that's where they get you. They'll no longer, if you do something with that taser, they're not going to be there to help represent you. They're going to say, they're using an outdated product. We're no longer helping.
How long have you had these?
These are, I think they're four-year contracts, 4 years. And then the second contract will go out in June of next year. So the $9,175 will reflect that one
the one for this, the one that's going to expire in June, because those.
So when you change them, do you change all of them? Or you get some that
you get a trade in. They give you a credit, yes, ma'am. They give you a credit for the trade in.
Okay.
And then you have to buy all your cartridges from them. You have to buy all the batteries and stuff. And they've got several different varieties of packages. So I'll give you an example. We didn't go with this one, but say we get 20 tasers from them. They will give us all the batteries. They'll give us extra batteries. They'll give us X number of cartridges for the year and all. But for 4 years, that was $72,000. So we don't use our tasers that often. And but when we do, it helps. It sure does. And where they really get us is in the training. By their training standards, you have to deploy a taser when you're training. You have to recert every year. So those are $30-some a cartridge per everybody that has one. You see how it's a business.
Right.
It's a business. So next slide, please. All right, I do have a few more things that I didn't put a slide in there on, and a lot of the other lines have smaller increases, and we're seeing inflation and everything in the equipment that we buy, repair and maintenance for our vehicles. Our fuel line, this is, I paid January's, it should have came over yesterday. So I have $1,100 left for the rest of the year for fuel. So we built in a great deal actually in next year's budget to hopefully to keep us, because at some point we'll have to come back and ask for fuel for money, as well as some of the other lines that have hit. Our repair and maintenance line for vehicles will probably, we'll go through that this year, because with the new cars that we got, some of them sat for 6-8 months while we waited for the parts to come and then to have them built where we can use them. So we've had to maintain an older fleet, and with the repair costs, we just had to replace an engine in one. So that things have kind of piled up on us, especially remember the 1 year during COVID we got no vehicles, so all those vehicles have been getting higher and higher miles to them, and it's starting to catch up with us. But we finally got the last four vehicles were issued out, I think, about 3 weeks ago. So now we're in a pause mode until we get the other two built, but we have to wait on the equipment to come in and then get in line to have the build. Even the building process is months out. So you try to hopefully plan our equipment will be here and go ahead and get in line to have it built. So there are a lot of obstacles, and it's not just us. It's throughout the state. Everybody's running into the same problems. So I could probably be here for 30 minutes trying to go through each one of those things. But as we go along with the budget, you'll see in the red along the side what we factored in for the increases in some of that. Now, quickly on the 911 side, you're going to see some increases on the radio systems. Due to the subscriber replacement, repairs, and the annual maintenance increases, with that. And our system's seven years old now, right?
Yeah.
So radios and stuff are going to have to start being cycled back out again. The other big item you'll see for $40,000 is our, like Mel was talking about a minute ago, our server is 7 years old and it's no longer under warranty. So, that's one of those, that's the brains behind the outfit kind of thing. So those were really the two biggest increases on the 911 side. Any questions or anything?
In your budget, I saw weapons, security, safe, and two rifles for high school. What does that mean?
We're looking at getting gun uh-huh. safes, cylinder gun safes.
Okay.
And they would be stored inside of the SRO's office. Mm-hmm.
And the only way to open that safe is to have the combination and the fingerprints. It'll store the fingerprints of the officer where they don't have to take the time to punch that in.
We've never had that in the before. Yeah.
But that's a trend we're seeing right now. Right. And we had a meeting today with the schools, and I think our school system really reaches out to us, and we're always obliging to ideas that they have on ways to do things. Mm-hmm. And I think in the future you're going to see some really good collaboration between the two of us. We're going to help them with some things that they want to do and implement to make it a safer school for the kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Some really good things coming up.
Sheriff, just one question. Mr. Fairchild asked me a question the other day, and I didn't really know the answer. I remember at one point, and this was some time ago, you know, I think the discussion was that maybe per shift there's maybe three deputies on the road or something like that. And he was saying, he's like, he said something like, I feel like I see five or six deputies out on the road at times. Like per shift, how many deputies are
So we have gotten to where we look at our statistics. Okay, they work 12-hour shifts. So we do power shifts, okay, and they will overlap.
Okay.
So, yes, in the early morning hours right now, because we're down four people that are out for a while, you got two. And then, you know, come 9 o'clock or whatever, somebody else will come on. And then in the meat of the day, when you have the most calls for service, you do have five people.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And is that kind of like right in the middle of the day?
No, it's more toward the, from about 11 to 9 at night, okay. you're going to see more people out during that time. Even though up to the other day we had someone resign, but we were one of the few agencies that was 100% staff, but we have three people that are out on with some medical issues.
So your SROs are on duty. You have all five of them.
All five are on. They're on duty unless they're out sick or in training or on vacation.
Right.
And there are two in the high school, one at Carysbrook, one at Central, and one in the middle school.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
And we'll get into some of that later, because we're really doing some wonderful things, and the way they are helping. We don't just utilize them as SROs. When there's an issue with a child, they're also helping on the investigative side. Because guess what? If they're part of that team and they know what's going on, they see that child every day. They can check in with that child every day.
Have any female SROs?
Yes, ma'am. We have two.
I know you were talking.
We have two. One in the high school, and we have a male and female in the high school, and that way they can do mentoring for both the boys and the girls. And we have, in the middle school, we have a female and a male in Central and a male in Carysbrook. And the schools actually participated in the interviews for all of those people, and they chose the ones they wanted that applied for it. So, like I said earlier, the relationship we have with our schools is nothing what you hear on some of the area, other places in the state and in the country.
Yeah. And a lot of school systems want to do what we're doing. When you went to the governor's conference.
Yeah, and you'll hear about another layer that we're looking at doing with them. And I think it's going to make that even better.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you much.
Commonwealth Attorney, Mr. Hudson.
Good evening. Thank you for being here. Good to see you both. And you too. I was feeling good until I saw the sheriff's numbers. Now I'm realizing why I'm so tired. Adding up his days, now go back 27, 28 years when I was Colin Guy's assistant. We had court on Mondays when there weren't holidays, General District Court. That's now Tuesday, so we have it almost every week. We had Juvenile Domestic Relations Court every other Wednesday, and if we went till lunch, that was a long day. It was a bad day if we went past 11 o'clock. And we had Circuit Court sometimes on a Thursday, sometimes on a Friday, but two, three, four times a month, maybe a criminal docket in Circuit Court. And to see, to add the sheriff's numbers up, 96 Circuit Court, 44 General District, 108 JDR, that's 248 court sessions where my assistant and I, one or both of us, are in court. If you subtract that 248 from the number of days in the year, that leaves 117 days that we're not, one of us is not in court. If you take the weekends out, that's 52 times 2, which is 104. That's 13 days out of the year where one or both of us isn't in the courtroom. So that's pretty, that's an eye-opener even for me, and I'm the one doing it. So, yes, we've grown quite a bit, yes. When I started, it was a much different population, but we still have a wonderfully non-violent, law-abiding population, we really do, for the number of people we have. What we deal with is really not not at all daunting compared to what some jurisdictions and counties are dealing with, but we're just happy to do it. It's really probably rare across the Commonwealth for there to be a budget session where people come in and talk about how well things are going and how much they appreciate having the staff and the equipment to do what they need to do. And that's how we can do this. I've added in my office since I started as assistant, I was a part-time assistant. So the part-time assistant went to full-time and we have added a paralegal. So all that addition in workload has been taken up by a person and a half basically. So we have the most efficient, experienced staff that we've had in my office since I've been there. It really is a pleasure to work with those folks, and I thank the board for giving us the resources to bring people in that qualified. My budget, as always, changes very little. It's mostly personnel costs and salaries for those fine folks. And there are only two lines that really changed at all this year. The first one is the mileage line. We bumped it up a little bit because with COVID ending, Zoom meetings are being phased out. You know, we had a lot of state agencies were able to meet through emergency Zoom proclamations, but now, you know, our Commonwealth Attorney Services Council, we have to meet in person, except for, I think there's two exceptions per year. But, you know, I drive to Richmond for those, things like that. But it's trainings and things that we have to drive to that during COVID we weren't doing, but it's a very small increase. The one line that if you do notice is the part-time line is it went from zero to 10,000. And back in 2019, the General Assembly mandated that localities had to supply on their own an extra Commonwealth's attorney, assistant Commonwealth's attorney for every jurisdiction that has body camera in place. And that's from 1 to 75, you get one, and then every increment of 75 after that, you get another one. So places like Virginia Beach were in line for dozens, and we were in line for one. And I met with Steve at the time, and Eric was in on the meetings as well. And I didn't need another assistant, even with the workload. I like working efficiently and fully, and we didn't need another person. So part of the clause of the mandating of the person was that the Commonwealth attorney in the locality could negotiate something less than an assistant. We just threw out a number, 10,000, that we thought if I did need to bring someone in, that would cover a short-term part-time person. And so we settled on that number, and the line was put in, but the 10,000 was never actually filled in, which we never needed, so we haven't really noticed. I did want to put that in place because if we do ever bring in an intern, which we have an opportunity to bring an intern in from Princeton this year, her parents are teachers here in the county, and she's in Princeton and wants to be a lawyer, she thinks, and we'll try not to disavow her of that desire, but she's going to come spend the summer.
She's a fluke.
Yes, and she wants to come back and spend the summer with us. But, you know, Princeton being a fine university, they have a public service grant program for interns, so it's very likely that they will give her that stipend. But, you know, I came to the board once years ago for a fluco that was an intern in my office in high school. He went off to law school and came back, and we actually were able to pay him a little bit over the summer while he interned with us. And he went on to JAG school and is now a JAG lawyer, BMI in JAG school. He's now a JAG lawyer doing very well. So we try to bring people in and push them along when we can. But, you know, high school students, we can expect to come after school and work for nothing. But if somebody's a second, third year college student, they really, really need something. I doubt we'll use that this year, but we would like to have that in place just if we do need to bring somebody in. I decided against bringing people in to help us coordinate the body camera footage, even though there is so much. You know, I trust the people I work with, and I would vet anybody that I bring in, but somebody that's working part-time really might not have the confidentiality understanding that I would want, and you're dealing with people going through some pretty bad situations on that body cam footage, and I just wouldn't feel comfortable, you know, filling that position just to have somebody come in and watch them and coordinate them. So we do that ourselves.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, okay. And so those are the only two lines that are really changing at all, other than what the, you know, all that yellow box we're told not to pay attention to, but that's handled people that in the finance department. So, but anyway, that's really, you know, what we're doing. As the sheriff said, we do have a lot more jury trials. The only uptick after COVID, because of COVID ending and the jury trial change that the sheriff mentioned, where judges are sentencing, so more people are asking for juries, you know, we did keep our numbers up and we kept coming to court, but jury trials were very difficult in COVID because, you know, we had to get the plan approved by the Supreme Court as to where people would sit and how we would separate. So we did, I think, one in the whole time of COVID. So we've caught up on that backlog, but now people are asking for juries. And because of technology, jury trials take longer. It used to be you had three or four witnesses come in, you tell a story. Now you've got body cam footage that might be 20 minutes, it might be 2 hours. So we're scheduling juries regularly for, you know, two, and we have a three-day jury trial coming up next week or the week after. So anyway, it is that sort of thing that the technology does. It's good in one sense, but it's also brings some burdens with it. But anyway, that's our budget, and we're, again, very small changes, and just thanks to the board again for everything. Got a fine group of people serving the county, and I'm proud to be a part of it. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. And
for the
court and the court judge, Ms.
Treadway,
you were last year.
Thank you, Ms. Booker, for remembering that. I asked if I had upset someone.
I may not be here, but I'm coming for the one. I'm not here. Put her up a little bit.
We did. We already had that conversation.
Okay.
So, just to begin with, I hope I am not presenting the judge's budget, because I do not have that budget.
No, the budget, it should have said circuit court operations.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was okay there. So, shockingly, I did not do a presentation this year, because I don't feel like I'm really asking for it much. I figured I would just give you guys an update. My office staff remains the same. We haven't had any turnover. I came to you last year, earlier this past fall, asking for certification pay for those individuals. So everything is running smoothly in the office. So really all I'm asking for is a $4,700 increase in my budget, which really are increases that are out of my control. Postage, of course, that was mentioned that it's increased. Copier leases, which are out of my control. The county does those. Contracts, so I don't have any control over those going up. Our grant, which of course is a good thing, our grant went up this year, so we'll be receiving about $51,000 in preservations grant is what I was awarded. So that's gone up, but in turn you get that money right back. And then of course mileage increase, as Jeff mentioned, a lot of our meetings and such are no longer by WebEx or Zoom, so we're attending more in person. So mileage has gone up some. Sheriff mentioned the 96 days of circuit court, and Jeff also mentioned it. I'll be honest, I haven't counted the court days because they are what they are, and I didn't count them. But in addition to everything that Jeff does and the criminal cases, we also have civil dockets. So we have even more court days than just criminal days. Unfortunately, over the last year, we've also had some cases that have been conflicts for our judges, and so I've also been traveling to Charlottesville to handle Fluvanna County cases
that are being heard in Charlottesville because of conflicts. So there, our court dockets are definitely increasing. There was actually between 21 and 22, which of course 20 was the main COVID year, 21 and 22, there was a 600% increase in jury trials. And that's just counting jury trials. It's not counting the number of days that those jury trials take. As Jeff mentioned, a lot of our jury trials are taking 2 and 3 days, depending on the type of charge that it is. So that's just, we're juggling a lot with the dockets to try to fit everything in. We do have a new judge who is, love Judge Moore, no disrespect, because I thought the world of him. But with the new judge, we are seeing it's a change in the docket, I should just say, in the movement of how cases are going. And so it seems like it's be a very positive move for us. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's really all I have for you. I'm not asking for much. I just, as Linda said, I'm asking for what it requires to run my office. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Do you all do passports?
We do.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we stopped in 2020. We did stop doing those for a while because it's not a statutorily mandated requirement for my office to do passports, and trying to slow down the traffic in our office of bringing people in. We did stop for a period for about a year, but we picked back up in 2021.
Okay.
So we are doing those.
And then again, not the circuit court judge, but circuit court operations
yes.
budget. And basically, you know, we used to have the circuit court judge and Ms. Treadway in the circuit court judge's budget had a contract with Charlottesville. Now, since we have the judge here and we're the employer, we're breaking out a circuit court judge and the circuit court operation.
Right.
So you can talk about this budget.
Well, and so as far as operations, like I said, we pulled some things out of what was in the circuit court judge, such as, you know, court matters that we've always handled. And that really doesn't make sense to hand those things over to the judge, and some of them are statutorily required for my office to do them. So juries, for instance, we handle the payment of the juries and making sure those are paid. So we just broke out some categories into our own circuit court operations budget. So you'll see the juries there that we have asked for an increase of about $4,500 in juries because of the increase in the numbers of juries that we're having. Jury commissioner stays the same. Civil juries, we're not really seeing an increase in the civil juries because it's really the change in the sentencing that have made the increase go up for criminal trials. So that's where we see the main increase. It's not really much. Postal service, because of the number of juries, we're having to actually request more jurors. We send out more questionnaires this year, so there's an increase in the postage and those type services. But again, that's all related to the jury numbers. And hopefully, you know, some of this is really a guessing game. Unfortunately, there's really no way for me to predict how many juries we will have, how many we will schedule, how many will go through. I mean, that it's really hard to predict those things. So I'm hoping that these numbers will work for us. If not, unfortunately, we'll be coming back asking for more money to pay jurors, but we'll see how this goes and then have to take it from there after that. But that's really it.
Now, you don't have to be a juror if you're over 70?
If you're over 70, there is an exemption that you can claim. However, you have to claim it. We do not automatically take individuals out that are 70 or over because some people that are over 70 want to serve. So we don't automatically do that. But if you want to claim your exemption, you absolutely can. And there's, you know, we'll give that to you. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Jeff, how is drug court going?
Doing very well.
Okay.
Thank you. We had 3 graduates this year since the last time I updated you. We've still had about a dozen folks in there. I'd like to get more in, but I think we could take anywhere between 15 and 20. But right now, we've got a good staff. Region 10 has been wonderful. I tell you, that was our concern is, you know, how tight things were with them from time to time, you know, them being able to help out. But They've actually hired someone just to be a facilitator. They brought Jeff Carr back, if anybody knows the area. So bringing him back was just amazing. This is so good because he's so familiar with that office and the county. So it's going really well. Our last graduate was a gentleman I had been prosecuting for 17 years. And at one time during drug court, he said he got a wrist bracelet and a little rock for a certain number of days sober. And he said it was by far the longest he'd been sober since he was a teenager, other than times he was in jail. So he's graduated now, and he was a leader for the whole group. And just, quite frankly, I was a little leery of even approving him to be in the program just because of, you know, some of the background we had. But I thought he deserved a chance, and he made the most of it. So it's things like that that make Thursdays great. So feel free to come on down and see it some Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock. 1:30, we're always there.
On behalf of the board supervisors, we really thank you all for all that you do for Savannah County. And many of you have been here for a long time. You have a lot of history and a lot of knowledge. So we thank you.
Yeah.
And
I would like to say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but as far as drug court, the clerk and sheriff are part of the team. They're there every Thursday for our planning meetings when we talk about the cases and then in court. And our trainers, when we were trained all those years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, said that it was just so rare to see the elected officials actually there part of it and not someone they were just sending down from the office. So I think it means a lot to our participants to see the actual sheriff and almost attorney in there giving them a pat on the back when they're doing well. And seeing us as people instead of somebody trying to ruin their lives, which right. I sometimes feel it's over.
Appreciate that.
I
can't do that. Yes. Thank you.
And
Eric, you have something?
I have nothing else for besides what some of the upcoming meetings are. So next week we've got a budget work session at 5 where the Savannah County Public Schools present their adopted proposed budget to the board. At 7 p.m. we have our regular meeting, and then at February 22nd at 7 p.m. we have our county agency briefs.
We don't need to have a motion because it's not right. Right? Yep. Good night. Good night.